Bill Simmons hosts the most downloaded sports podcast of all time, with a rotating crew of celebrities, athletes, media staples, and a slew of other friends and family members who always happen to be available. Check out the Bill Simmons podcast on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let me see the shot one more time.
Look at that.
Nah, let me take a picture.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Righty's House on Ringer FC. Hope you're all safe and well. Today, we've got the one and only Bukayo Saka. He's going to be joining us from the England camp ahead of Sunday's final against Italy. We're going to talk a little bit about the semi-final and look ahead to the final. And my guests are Musa Kwonga and Jeanette Kwashi. How are you doing, guys?
Very well.
I'm in that place. I think I've mentioned it before. You know when Neo, when he's on the train, in that train station where he couldn't go anywhere, he was in limbo. I don't know whether to be happy or sad. Am I ever, you know, because the games come in Italy. So I'm very, very happy because England have finally got to a final.
Yeah.
And I'm very sad because Italy have been amazing coming into the final during the tournament and leading up to it. They've been magnificent. And, you know, we've kind of like got there.
We've worked hard to get there, you're saying.
Yeah. Like, and yeah. I'm just feeling. And why would you have to feel like this going into a final?
It's like anxious energy, right? It's like
anxious energy.
Like, are you sleeping?
Very anxious energy.
Let's check in with you. Are you sleeping? Are you eating?
I woke up at 4:18 this morning.
Oh, man.
Woke up at 4:18 and you know what I've done? I watched the Loki episode.
Oh, it's so good. Oh my God. Yeah, yeah.
I watched it because and the thing is, it's really weird because that always happens to me when I'm feeling a little bit anxious and nervous. Mm-hmm. I wake up really early. And it's quite cool today because, like, you know what I mean? I had things to do and I didn't have to get up and do anything. But, like, I'm just, I don't know where I am right now. No, until Sunday happens, I think everything will go back to normal on Monday. But I don't know where I am right now.
Will it go back to normal on Monday? Will it? You'll be thinking about it.
Whatever happens Monday, it's going to be, by the time Monday comes, we're going to know something else. But the fact is that we've got to a semi-final 2018, we've got to a final 2021, whether we would have done it in 2020, if the pandemic didn't happen, it doesn't matter. We've got a team that's able to get to the latter stages of tournaments. I'm not now worried about us getting through group stages and stuff. I was only worried about the Scotland game because I didn't like that performance. But I think that we've got the kind of players that rise to the occasion now and know that they are expected to get past in and around quarterfinals, semifinals stage.
Who was it that had the prediction that would happen, that we'd get to a semifinal for the Euro 2020 and then win the World Cup for 2022? Who said that?
Was that in the group?
No. Like an executive said it. Someone from the FA.
That's bold.
I'm going to look for it. It was actually said when they were laying out all the plans in St. George's Park. They said, this is
when that. Did they say it? Ages ago?
Let me check. I'm going to check that right now.
Because you know, he might have been, do you think he would have been probably basing that, Musa, on the success of the younger players? Like,
I think so, yeah, the Youth World Cup. Yeah. The only reason I hesitate to say that stuff publicly is because, listen, Brazil are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil are coming and the rest of the world is coming and people are coming at your neck. And when you start saying these things, listen, it's very different. You know, like when you win the league, right? You get everyone's best game.
Mm-hmm.
You win the Premier League title and all of a sudden it's like, everyone's coming for your neck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because they're all charged for you.
Yeah, if England win, everyone's coming at the neck, you know. So I think it's I really appreciate the kind of the sense of growth and the sense of like this is the progress you can make, but you also need to be so careful saying that stuff publicly. You need to be careful.
Yeah. It was Greg Dyke in 2013. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's a bold statement.
Yeah. That's a big it's bold huge. Statement. But look,
I think there's a lot of people. There's some people with some pundits with some real. I told you so energy at the moment, mm-hmm. you know, saying some outlandish stuff. Mm. To be honest, I heard, you know, and people say we can blast through Spain and Italy.
Stop
and
it.
I'm thinking, whoa, bro.
Stop it.
You know what I mean? Because, you know what I mean? I know that there's some credence in saying, well, if it happens, I told you so. But to have, to go into a game against Italy.
This
yes,
Italy.
Yes, I believe that Chiellini and Bonucci, if you can get to them, it's probably where you can hurt them. To say that for props is just for me. You don't need to say that. So, and what if it does happen? You say, well, yeah, but I knew that. There's nothing to base that on.
Yeah,
nothing.
Honestly, Moose, there's nothing for us. How we played up to this point to base it on that we could beat Italy and Spain, how they've played, but like, yeah, we're in a one-off game, but like the way we've played, we're going to have to do a lot more.
To go to another level. Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
You were saying about Chiellini and Bonucci, I want to get into that. So you look at that triangle, you got Jorginho as the deepest line midfielder and then mm-hmm. Chiellini and Bonucci. Ironically enough, we talk about pace and power. There's actually not that much pace and power in that segment. Mm-hmm. And you were talking, that's the weakness. And we saw actually Spain with better finishing would have opened up that gap. And they went down the middle, didn't they? They went down the throat.
Did you see Morata's goal was surprisingly easy. The one where he came off at Bonucci or Chiellini. None of them went with him. No one from the midfield went with him.
Mm.
And when he turned, he literally was able to run 10, 15 yards, play the 1-2, go in. It was,
gave him space.
It was, you know what? It was ridiculously easy for Italy side, Jeanette.
So who then is going to be England? Who's going to be key on Sunday then? Like when you look at the way Spain plays.
It's the two wide attackers. Because if you look at them, if you look at like what Sterling did for the opening goal against Ukraine, mm-hmm. cut inside and then play the reverse pass mm-hmm. like into Kane. It's that those spaces, those inside pockets, which Saka, Sancho, mm-hmm. and I would say Sterling, I'm not sure the other ones will get a look in because I think I love the other players. But the reason why I think specifically Sterling, Sancho and Saka are so good above the other options, Grealish too is great. They combine so well. Mm. I think it's why Rashford may not have seen so many games because Rashford's amazing. Mm. But his combination play, I love Rashford, but his combination play is not of the same level of like a Grealish.
Yeah.
And Grealish, I thought Grealish was brilliant actually in the semi-final, Jeanette. I mm-hmm. thought that he broke ground really well. So I think, you know, we have precisely the players who are strong enough to exploit what I would say are their particular weaknesses.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
I feel for Grealish because it was interesting. I didn't want to say it on the telly because you need the time to be able to go into it. And, you know, him getting subbed and the way he took it was magnanimous. It was fantastic. He says, it's the team. It's all about the team. And I'll take that because like we saw with many, many years ago with Ricky Vieira in the FA Cup, got substituted. It wasn't the same kind of scenario, but he got substituted, came back on the Thursday, and scored one of the greatest goals we've ever seen in FA Cup history. You're hoping that that could happen for someone like Jack Grealish, but the fact that he took it so well because it's all about the team was really brilliant of him. And it makes me really even more confident in his progress and his progression and what he's going to go on to do. But I just believe that as a player, he's not used to, for me, Jeanette, from a young age, knowing what it's like to come off the bench and have to perform. He's always playing. You could see he's trying to get it going.
Yeah.
You have to say Gareth and his gangster move in taking him back off. Talking about a player that the fans were singing for.
They adore him.
A player, honestly, Jeanette, that the fans, when he started warming up,
Everyone's
was
going mad.
Rapturous
applause.
I tell
you what, when the cameras cut to him, guys, where we were, the noise, and it was like, come on, Grealish. And it was like, whoa, like, this is crazy. Gareth knows it.
Gareth don't business. And like now, Gareth is doing what no England manager before has done for me. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what happened with Sir Alf Ramsey. Go on, Smoos.
Are you going to say he takes off the favourites? He doesn't play
takes
favorites.
Off the favourites. He doesn't care. He puts Trippier left back. He's doing what he's doing to the point where he's earned the right to do that.
Of course.
Yes.
He's earned the right to do that. And what I'm saying with Jack, and it's something that I don't know, you know, I might be totally wrong. It's simply because from a young age, he's always been the top of the class. So he doesn't know really what it's like to be on the bench and get your mind ready. I knew what that was like. I knew what it was like because going into the England squads when I went into them, I knew I weren't starting for a start unless Shearer was injured. And there's a couple of games I started. But in the main, I knew I weren't starting, but I know that I can make an impact from the bench. And that can be just as significant as starting, Miss.
But I want to unpick that whole golden boy thing because to me, that's so interesting because I think that being an England manager, it's so easy to get caught up in, there is a glamour. That's still a glamorous job, the England management job. You know, Capello wanted it. Eriksen wanted it. It's a coveted job. And I think there's a kind of, and I think Sven Goran Eriksson, I think, was maybe more victim of this than others. It's a seductive position and you want to be liked. You know, you want to be liked. It's a weird job to take because it's the job where you can be the most hated person in the country. But it's ironic that Southgate's become one of the most loved people by doing some of the most hated things.
Mm-hmm.
And the lesson he's shown people is you don't cater. You don't cater to it because
you've got to have balls to do it in a tournament, bro.
God.
But everyone that broke has gone out.
Yeah.
Everyone that broke has gone home. Everyone that did fan, you know what it's like? It's like when those artists that come out and they're scared to play the new records, they play the old material.
Yeah.
Because they think that's what everyone wants to dance to, but actually everyone wanted the new stuff.
Yeah.
And Gareth is like, we're going to give the new material. We're not going to give you 4-4-2. We're going to give you like broken lines and wingers that cut in, and we're going to take off your favorite players. And you're like, oh, and then by the end of the set, you're like, oh my God, why are we into the old stuff? Yeah.
It's crazy because when I've heard him speak, Gareth Southgate, about how he feels when fans and everyone has got an opinion on selections and squads, he says, there is nobody who watches the players that I'm picking more than I do and my team does. And I thought to myself, that is so true. He spends entire weeks and days to the point where he actually said on this pod, he said, there are days where I have to take a couple of days off from watching football because it's starting to merge into one. I'm aware of how they are on the pitch. I'm aware of how they play in games. I watch videos and I'm like, it's so true. We are basing our suggestions and opinions on what we think based on what we see week in, week out in the Premier League. That's just touching the surface. Do you know what I mean? This is a man with deep insight and deep knowledge, communication, psychology into everything that the players have to offer. And when you hear it from that perspective, we know it, guys. We do know it. But when you hear it, you're like, you know what? Let me just take a seat back because he knows what he's talking about. Like, we've just got to trust whatever selection he decides to make.
Especially when he's talking about seeing them in the canteen, like even asking, what I love about Southgate is he's doing the extra level of homework. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when someone is, you know, when you go for a job interview, the attitude you should always have is, they're interviewing me, but I'm interviewing them for whether I fit. And I get the impression with Southgate, genuinely, it's like, people are interviewing the England team for whether this is an environment they want to be part of. And if they're interviewing the England team, that means the family is interviewing me too. So whenever I meet or interact with any member of Saka's crew, let's say that he meets Saka's cousin, and then 2 days later, Saka's cousin's like, hey, Bukayo, like, Gareth talked to me for like 20 minutes just about my art project. What? Mm. And it's like those tiny, what I love about Gareth Southgate is, and Ryan's going to hate me for this, Ryan's strength is Ryan always pays attention to the smallest details, right? And I feel like Southgate, it's like the little details. You know, the Christmas card, the Christmas card that arrives at the right time, the birthday card, like the tiny things that people don't think of. And Southgate, what I love about this is it's the accumulation of 1,000 small details. And it speaks a lot about the leadership. You know, this man, and I can't praise him enough.
He's getting it right.
It's the decency. Forget whether they win or not. Like, of course I want England to win. Of course I do. But do you know what? To me, at some level, the reason I'm calm is like, I've seen enough from this team to be proud of what a good leader is.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that for so long. Like I haven't. And it sounds like a dramatic thing for me to, but it's like, you can look at, look, I live in Berlin now. I don't interact that much with it, but I'm like, to look at that country and be proud and be like, Gareth Southgate is every great teacher I remember that encouraged me to do better. He's every boss that I had that took me to one side and said, look, I know you're not enjoying this, but like, keep at it.
Yeah.
He's the tutor at uni that said to me when I was in my second year at law, do you know what? I know that you're hating this right now, but just keep going. It's worth it.
Yeah, in the end.
He represents all of that. Yeah. That's why this is a big deal. Yeah, yeah.
Quite calm, but can I just say though, right, Ian? You see all that calmness. We feel it. We can see it in his interviews, whenever he's speaking. But then when we beat Denmark the other night, oh my goodness, when he roared at the crowd, I thought, look at that competitive animal that is in this man. Like, he'll do it and then very quickly just make a calm face. And I just thought, it's in there. And you need that fire and you need that spirit to be able to get to this elite playing of level of football to say, right, okay, we're here now and it's anyone's. Once you're in the final, is anyone's. Like, you have to kind of see it that way. You can't go in and play for second place. And that's what they'll be thinking.
I think the when we saw him go to the crowd at the end of that Denmark game and roar like he did, that was a release. You could feel it was a release, because he's had to make some decisions. And remember, the decisions he's making, we're not hearing until, I don't know, a couple of days afterwards, because we don't know. We're all waiting for the announcements to happen. But he's obviously, he's made those decisions maybe a week ago. He knows even longer. So he's living with them. He's living what's going to happen. He's living with the with what people are going to say. And these are the reasons why I look back at what he's doing. And if you're not going to be able to be a manager and try to aspire to be the England manager, then don't be a manager for me, if you're an English. And for me, that's probably how I have to look at it now. I do not believe that I can deal with what Gareth's had to deal with.
It's huge. I
know for a fact on a daily basis, football management and what they have to do with my 1 year dealing with like MK Dons with Carl Robertson at that level.
Oh my God.
Made me realize I cannot do this. I know I can't do this. And for him to be doing it at this level with him and holding in all those feelings and what's going to happen, what people are going to say, you know, the judges, the finger pointing and everything, and he sticks by his guns, it's credit to him.
It's credit to him
because you know what he's done? He's done what I would love to be able to say to people. If you're going to fucking do it on your terms. So if you fail, you fail on your terms. So if you're going to fail because you played Trippier on the bloody left and we got hammered, or you're going to play Jordan Pickford who had a poor season in people's eyes, but you're still going to pick him because you've got faith in him, because like you said, Jeanette, I've seen him every day. I'm going to pick Raheem Sterling. Yes, Pep's got the ump with him for some reason. He's not playing in the last stages of the season when they needed a player of his game. He's not playing. I've seen enough. And then to deal with all that and still pick them, and then they come up with the goods.
Deliver.
When he puts his head on a pillow at night, you know what I mean? It must be so nice for him, because I know Gareth. Known Gareth since he was like 16. And you ask him, Gareth, how's everything going? We know what it's like with England managers, their kids, their wives, their families, what happens to their... He's got his son, he's got his daughter, he's got his family. And he said, yeah, sometimes it's a bit hard on them. So you know it's hard on them.
Yeah.
Of course.
But you're not what you're doing, and you do not know what they're really going through. On top of that, he's making decisions. Like, you saw how everybody was when he picked that team, that first team. He's making those decisions. And he's sticking by them. He's probably had those in his mind for a while, guys. And then when it comes off, I'm so proud because I'm so close. It's the same as how I feel with Saka.
Yeah.
Too close, maybe too close.
Do you know, the interview that I'm referring to as well, he actually mentions you, right? He speaks about when you guys were at Palace, when you were all young. And obviously he's like some quiet English boy that's come from Crawley. Yeah. He walks into this dressing room and it's you and it's Mark Bright and it's like
Andy Gray.
Yeah. And he said that Tony, you, man, were giving him some stick, but he had to hold his own. And it's like, wow, it's those experiences as a young person that make you, especially in those kind of environments when you're not necessarily that used to being in and around those type of personalities. So being able to manage this now, you can see that is years and years of football experience, management experience that's come to one perfect moment for this final.
I don't think you can get too close to people like Saka and Southgate because look at the sheer number of people who have negative things to say about both of them, whether they should play, whether they shouldn't, who they should. You need, and look, there are people who are going to come up with completely unfair conversations, narratives, and they need people in their corner to remind people that how human they are, how much every pass matters, every tactical change matters. And the fact that actually sometimes better teams just beat you. I mean, you look at we'll talk about Italy in a moment, but look at Spain. Spain were absolutely superb for long periods against Italy and they're at home.
Yeah.
And they will go home to a country of people, hopefully, who'll be quite fair about it. But a lot of those people won't be like, oh, you scored 5 goals in 2 matches. You scored loads of goals. They'll be like, oh, the misses. They're like, well, instead of, this was one of the best Spain teams I've seen
in a long time.
And that is saying something considering what they've had in recent years. Yeah, this was a special one.
We've got to just move on to Italy quickly. Mm-hmm. They frighten me. Because their experience is in a place where I'm feeling like, Bonucci and Chiellini, a lot of experience. They've lost their best player for me, Spinazzola, unfortunately. Yes. But they have got a work ethic, a technical ability, and finishing ability, which will cause anyone problems. And I'm hoping that we've got some form of plan for them. And when I say that, it's the way Spain attacked them. If Spain were more ruthless, they could have probably scored a few goals in the first half. Then we would have seen what they're about. They would never give up. Italy absolutely would never give up. But I believe that you need to attack them right at the heart of where their weakness is. And I think that their weakness is their strength in Chiellini and Bonucci.
Mm.
And we saw that with that goal what Morata scored. As soon as he came on, all the time I'm watching this game, Moose, I'm saying they need a focal point. They need somebody to attack these players. Somebody's going to pull off of them. And so Chiellini or Bonucci say, are we going in there? Is Jorginho going to pick him up? None of them did it. He turned, Harry Kane turns. He hasn't got the pace of Morata. But if he could turn him, you've got movement in front of him. That's when you are able to then cause those two guys a problem.
Attack that space.
Needs to be creative.
We need to be ruthless in that. Yeah. We can't be sitting back and letting them ease into it. We've got to be ruthless in that.
So you're saying, right, from the jump, you're saying the first half, we just have to let them know from the first half.
Yes, because what's going to happen is they're going to have a spell in there. I thought we started okay the other day, but then it was almost like there's a boxing match where you start and you've got a knockout punch and you bam, 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 bam. And then Denmark kind of said, I know he's got a knockout punch, but I've kind of taken a lot of his punches there.
Mm.
And then did you see it when they started to grow in the game?
Yeah.
They were dangerous literally with every attack.
Yes.
Harry Maguire was getting pulled over to that left side and him and John Stones got pulled in. Damsgaard then blasted through the midfield. I'm thinking, oh my God.
What's happening?
Oh my God, what's going on here?
It's going to be really important to press the midfield. You know, the thing is, the Spanish midfield, Spain's midfield was supernatural, right?
Yeah. Too good.
I love our midfield, but our midfield is not going to have that kind of dominance. No. What we do have is we're very good at positionally and we're very good at pressing. Mount is going to be important, you know, whatever role he plays. Mason Mount, they should have put that man in the ice bath as soon as he came off.
Yes. Didn't it?
You know, because that he's going to be essential. Mm-hmm. So the key is to be disruptive in central areas, not let them have too much time and then really just keep cutting. And you saw Sterling against Denmark, the first 15 seconds of the game, he gets the ball and just does
man,
too many.
He just goes bam.
That's the energy we have to come with.
Yeah.
I'm worried about Mount. If we're going to do the, is he going to match them up? Because if he's going to do the 4-2-3-1, Mount already occupying that space.
Yeah. I like that though. I like that because.
Do you like it?
Yeah, because he's pressing. Because a lot, look, it's, It's like the scraps that feed from the table, like mm-hmm. Mount presses, and then some scraps will fall from the table in the final third.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a possession-based game. It's more like kind of counter-punching where Mount occupies the base of the midfield. Like Mount matching up against Jorginho as well, who he knows from training.
Yes, yes.
That's ideal. And remember,
I think that's brilliant.
When Mount, we've seen a couple of times in the Premier League when the most advanced player, or the second most advanced player, presses the defense, the deep lying player like Rodri. Mm-hmm. Rodri never recovered from Jamie Vardy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jorginho has never fully recovered from the first time he got pressed in the Premier League. The first time, I can't remember the game it was, but I think it was even Spurs maybe. I think it was maybe...
Yes, it was Mourinho. Yeah. It was, yes.
Right, yes. You remember, yes, that's the energy.
Yes.
That is, yeah, that's the blueprint for how to play with
and
Jorginho.
And then we saw, then all of a sudden everyone said, gee, yes.
Wow.
Because remember, we were going on about, oh my God, Jorginho, oh, Jorginho. It was unbelievable because
it became a house party. It became a house party in the back four.
And all of a sudden, everybody goes, oh my God.
Hey, everyone, hey.
Here's the keys. Everybody else, here, bam, take the keys.
That's it was like Ferris Bueller. It's like Ferris Bueller.
It's Ferris Bueller. What a feel, Ferris Bueller.
Mason Mount has to get, he's got to take the car. He's got to take the keys to the car.
He's got to take the keys to the car, bro.
Mason Mount.
But you know something? I'm intrigued. I'm anxious. Nervous.
Excited, obviously. Excited.
Anticipation
excited.
Is too much for me. Remember, like people couldn't believe that I was 3 in 1966. But like I said, yes, I was alive. And you know what? You know what's really ridiculous about people? Is that on ITV, I said to them, yeah, I remember it. I was 3. And people were coming into the comments saying, Jesus, right? How do you remember that? I was 3. I was joking.
Do you know, when Jesus you said Christ. It, I laughed so hard.
God
I said,
Almighty.
He remembers what? And I just thought, nah, he's exactly. got to be joking.
Of course he's joking. But the thing is that I want to, I've always said, and I remember since I've done the first ITV in 1998, I think, because I got injured, tore my hamstring against Morocco. So I was out of that World Cup. And so it's funny because Glenn Hoddle wanted me to stay in the squad, stay amongst it, to be that guy.
Mm.
But I said, you know what? I can't. It's too close. It's too painful. And so I'd done ITV and I remember, I just remember just feeling, Jesus Christ, man, hopefully I'll get one of these because this is where I want to be.
Mm.
This is where I want to be. I want to be on this stage. This is why... You know, you see these guys now, you see Sterling, you see Saka, Grealish, all those guys, you want them to have their moment. And I was thinking even the other day, I wonder who it's going to be. If I could pick someone and say, you know what, I want you to have the moment where you bring it on for the country.
Yeah.
It'd be Calvert-Lewin.
Really? It'd
be Calvert-Lewin because, yes, it would be Calvert-Lewin. Because of the season he's had. The problems he's had coming through, people, when Lukaku left, oh, we've got to buy a centre forward. We have to find a centre forward. Oh, God, we need a centre forward. We never replaced Lukaku. And then he's played, didn't score goals. And people say things about him like, yeah, but he's never going to score enough goals. Oh, he's awkward. Right. He doesn't. Listen, man came with it last season, got himself into this position.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not believe that's for no reason at all. There is something for me written for that guy to be doing. I feel that. Because if I was going into it, if I'm Calvert-Lewin now in and around that squad, missed out on a couple of squads, not even being in the 23, I'd be thinking, my time's coming. I feel like something's going to happen
something.
For me.
You've got to stay, to be ready and he's got to stay
Can
ready.
I say this for Calvert-Lewin as well? I love that you mentioned him. Do you know why? Mm. Because I think Calvert-Lewin is the first centre forward I can remember at this level who became prolific.
Mm.
From not being, if you think about it, like we've not, when normally as a striker starts his or her career like
prolific.
Yeah, and Andy Cole
done the same when I saw him at Arsenal early doors.
Bristol City, good point.
Like Bristol City,
yeah, good point.
People said when Andy Cole, when I went to Arsenal, remember Andy Cole was coming through with Kevin Campbell.
Mm.
When I went to there, I watched him watched him training, scoring goals, and I thought, how the fuck knows that guy not in and around it? You know what I mean? They said, yeah, he won't score more than 12 goals a season. That's what they said about Andy Cole. And look what he went and done. He went to Bristol. I remember he went to Fulham on loan first. Then he went to Bristol, came back. Then he went and signed for Bristol. And then he went to Newcastle. And
yes.
then, and that, and the rest, as they say,
is history.
Is, no, no, no. They don't say it's history. Is Rasklar history.
Rasklar.
That is...
You need a t-shirt. Can we just talk about your t-shirt, please? Look at this.
Raheem. God save Rasklar Raheem. That's what I would have done if it was my t-shirt. God save Raheem.
The fact this guy grew up near Wembley.
It's crazy. Mm.
Right. That's the energy in that. And like everything that he's done, the journey he's been on, like no one's taking the knee unless he first starts speaking out. Mm-hmm. He began all that. Mm-hmm. It was the way he was being treated. He was minding his own business and people came for him. He replied, and all of this has grown from there. Yes. If you look at it, like, in, you know, what Southgate's done, and I love Southgate, don't get me wrong, but the catalyst for all of this has been Sterling. Mm-hmm. None of this happens without him. It's beautiful. And I hope that I hope he gets to tie the bow at the end.
God, this has made me feel really, I was actually all right, and now I just feel really nervous.
I'm calmer, Jeanette. I'm calmer than ever. Look, the resting pulse is calm. It's calm.
Right, guys, let's take a quick break, then we're going to chat to Bukayo.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Saka, Saka, Saka! Can you see us?
Yeah, I can see you.
How are you? Okay.
How are you doing, my brother?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, you're making me good. You're making us all good. Let me introduce Jeanette Kouachi in her Arsenal top in homage to you. And hello, Musa Kwanga.
Oh, man. Hello, Musa.
How are you, my brother?
I'm good, man. Just feeling all the vibes from the nation.
What's the vibes like? What's it like feeling the vibes from the nation, bro?
It's just sick, man. You think, you know, in the camp, you know, we're winning, so everyone's already buzzing. But then when you go on social media and stuff like that, and even just for myself, when I'm seeing like all the memes and just all the love and stuff like that, it's funny.
Bukayo, how are your parents feeling? Really, because you must be making them feel so proud.
Yeah, you said it. They're just very proud. And I think we'll get to see them after the game on Sunday. So obviously I haven't seen them for about 6 weeks. So I'm sure they're missing me and I miss them also.
Yeah, man. It must be tough. Yeah. You know, I was going to say to you, you're the youngest player to start a match for England at a semi-final stage in the latter stages of a major tournament, my friend. The youngest. You know, when you got into the squad, you know, people were saying, Bukayo Saka might get in. But was you ever worried about if you got into the squad or if you didn't get into the squad? What was you thinking leading in?
Leading in, I knew how much quality was in the team. You know, I knew which position I wanted to play, which is attack. And I know what the attack already has in this team. So obviously, I wasn't 100% sure that I would make the squad, but when I did make the squad, I was really happy, and I just knew that, you know, I would get an opportunity, and if I did get it, I would have to take it.
But you know what? To be able to take that opportunity at your age and know that you're going in there and there's going to be so many eyes, do you feel the pressure? Because we look at you, and I swear to God, every time you step on the pitch, I'm like, Jesus, please let this boy
smash
this. I'm always nervous.
I'm so nervous.
Do you feel that from people when they're like, bruh, we need him to do well, like we want him to do well so bad?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I think it's a balance, you know, because like, obviously there's not everyone that wants me to do well. Some people don't want me to play. Then there's other people that want me to play. But I try not to look at that. You know, for me, it's more to think about the outcome in a positive way. So instead of thinking, you know, what if I don't play well? You know, it's more thinking, or what if I score, or what if I assist? And then after that, you get this excitement in your body that you just want to go out and play. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a game of football, you know, so I can't, if I think too much about it, it will become something out of my control. So.
Tell me how you're training. Are you going past people in training? Are you scoring in training? Are you feeling good? Who are you blasting past, man?
I can't be honest with that question.
I put the quote quote in the group. Who was it, Moose? I put the quote in the group and they said they're kind of grab him up when he's going past.
Trying to grab him up. Someone was saying they're trying to stop him.
Trippier was saying it. You can't be doing that, Bukayo, to people. Why are you doing that?
You're going on with badness. You're on smoke in training.
Oh, man. No, I try my best in training. I always give my all. And yeah, I try to have fun as well. So,
you know what? I got to tell you as well, because before the tournament starts, and I'm busting in on Moose, because I know Moose will come in at some stage, but...
No, it's good. I'm good.
You know, the thing is, because we have to speak to Gareth, right? Actually, we spoke to him before the squad was announced. And, you know, everybody, he has to do like, I don't know, 5 minutes or something with everybody. And you know what? I got on with him and I had about 10 questions for him. And he came on and all he said was, Ian, tell me about Bukayo Saka.
Yeah.
That's all he said. Tell me about him. He said, we absolutely adore him. And it's then when I, you know, it's really weird because like it was then when I said, oh my God, my guy's going to be involved and my guy's going to be like a focal point, bro. The way Gareth came in and I said, my God, what's Gareth like with you? Is he like your older brother or your dad?
How did he talk to you? Crazy today, honestly.
Yeah, man, because you get them banal questions from them reporters that just talking foolishness in your ears. Man. I want to hear you say stuff. It must be nice to feel.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. You know, it's like a normal conversation now. Mm. But yeah, if I'm honest, Gareth has been really good with me. Everything that you're saying, you know, it shows in the way he treats me, the way he speaks to me. You know, so I really appreciate everything he's done for me. And most importantly, you know, I'm here to play football and he's given me the opportunity to do that. Mm. So that's probably the most thing I'm grateful about.
How are you soaking this up? Because it looks like so much fun, but it's going to be over so quick. Everyone's going to be back to their clubs after this. And it's almost like, it looks like, you know, when your mates will like hire out like a holiday home and everyone just goes, that's a great, it's a vibe, right? But how are you storing? Is it videos? Is it like, is there a WhatsApp group? Everyone's just getting together, sharing memories and thoughts. How are you like capturing that?
For me, I'm more of a person that's like in the moment, you know, rather than capturing it. You know, other people take videos and we have like cameras around a lot of the time. So they get a lot of clips and stuff like that. But for me, I'm a man like to enjoy the moment, be in the moment, you know, have fun with the lads, whatever we're doing, and just, yeah, enjoy the vibes. And I haven't really soaked it all up, you know, because like I said, I'm just living it, you know what I mean?
Who's the main video guy? Who is the one that's going to have all the footage? Like,
I saw Carl Walker the other day filming Connor Cody watching Love Island, bro.
Well, you didn't expect that?
No, man, I didn't expect, man.
Why not?
Because I, you know, it's, for a start, I didn't think that man would be settling down, getting ready to watch like Love Island. And then I'm thinking like Connor Cody, he's literally just come onto the gram, bro.
That's true.
He's literally just come on.
Yeah. He surprised a few people, but...
you know what I was going to ask you as well? Just quick, Calvin Phillips, right? Because you know what? Once the game's finished, because it was a tough game for me the other day, especially when we went a goal down and then you came and brought the smoke. And then what happened was, then in the end, we won the game. And then at the end of the game, with the singing and everything like that, and Calvin Phillips said he didn't want to leave the pitch. What was it like at the end of the game with you guys realizing we've gone to the final in England and Calvin Phillips saying he don't want to leave the pitch? What was you like?
I think I was the same, you know. I think when we won the game and we did the lap around the pitch, clapped the fans, and then at the end they put on Sweet Caroline and you know that song Full World from the Emirates. Every time we win, three points at the Emirates. So it just brought me back those vibes, you know. I was just singing. You know, you can see your family waving at them in the crowd and they're just so proud of you. Everyone's buzzing. After just doing what we've done, you know, we're in a final. And of course, England hasn't been in a final for quite a long time. So we know how much it means to the nation and not just the people in the stadium, you know, the people all around the country, you know, at the pubs and stuff like that. Everyone's just buzzing. So just having that feeling, you know, it was a good time. And I'm same with Calvin. I didn't want to leave the pitch either.
It's a vibe, man.
Look at my t-shirt, bro. I got my t-shirt. Hang on, man. My earpiece just came out. Wait there.
Look at the t-shirt, bro. Look at it.
1 second. Can you hear me again?
Yeah.
Look, my t-shirt. I got my Raheem t-shirt, bro. God save Raheem, bro. I got God save Raheem because I had my I had my Saka one on the balloon. You see my Saka one
on the unicorn. Yeah, I see that.
On the unicorn. So I got God Save Raheem. I'm going to put that out. But the fact is, Raheem at the moment is on smoke, bro. What's he like in training?
Nah, he's sharp, man. You can see it in the game. He's sharp. And yeah, he just has a real hunger to score goals. And that's why he's, I think, is he joint top scorer? Him and Harry?
I think so, yeah. Because Harry just allowed,
four now.
Yeah, I think it's four now.
Yes, he's got something.
Pray to God that he could get the golden boot.
Do you know, Kai, when you see, when you're in and around Raheem and you see him in that kind of form, like, how does that make everybody step up their game as well on the pitch in training?
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, obviously, as a winger in his position, you can see what he's doing. So, you know, you can see that it's possible to go and score. And you can see the moments he's living. You know, you can see through his celebrations, the emotions he's feeling. And obviously, as a player, you all want to feel that and score goals like him. So, yeah, we all looked at him and said, yeah, we want to do the same.
You know, I know you lot have got, I know you got, you're going for dinner soon, isn't it? You're going for
At 7:30.
Yeah, see, so what's it called? So, I was gonna say, what you lot having for dinner, man? Because
what do you eat?
What you having?
We're having different stuff every night. You know, they try and change it up. One day we had Jamaican
food. Jollof.
No,
there was no jollof. That's the only thing I've missed.
You should ask the manager to bring in some jollof.
No, they need to bring jollof.
They're not gonna.
No, right, he's just sort that out for us.
And you know jollof is not, that's not performance enhancing, guys.
What are you talking about?
That is performance enhancing.
When the people was younger, I remember I went to my Nigerian friend's house, Adiwale, my friend Adiwale and Aditeo. We went to their house on a Sunday and we had jollof, right? And some pounded yam. We played for about 7 hours, man.
Why you didn't fall asleep after that? That would be sleep.
Yeah, pounded yam puts you to sleep. That's a
pounded yam. But you know what? It's funny. Jollof is serious. And the thing is, I saw somebody the other day because he's a Nigerian guy on Insta. He said his mum don't want a cake. Man made a jollof cake, bro.
That's so
sick. He just did a jollof rice cake. So what would you have? Just what do you have? Pasta, some rice, and some stuff like that. Listen to me. I'm just trying to keep as long as I can. I know you got to go.
Pasta, rice, wraps, all of it. A lot of it.
Man.
Yeah, so we got a good chef here as well, so it's actually quite nice food.
We were talking to Reese the other day. Reese James was telling us about the barbers that come as well. Reese turned up on this chat. The lineup was so mad.
Line in his head,
I swear
bro.
He could have cut you with the lineup.
It is. I have to get some off of this, you know.
They're going to get, yeah, man.
They're here today.
Are they here? Because I was going to say, bro, you're lying, man. I need to see more. Because Reese came on, right? And his line was done by a scientist, bro.
I'm getting this off of this, man. Listen,
Micaiah, I just want to wish you all the best.
We're so proud of you. I can't tell you.
You know, to the fact that people are caning me out and saying, everything is right, is Micaiah Sacko. Yes, Taraskla. Everything is Micaiah Sacko for me. He's saved my club up to this point, and now he's carrying the country as well with my other brother. But the fact is, I just want you to continue doing what you're doing because everything you're doing is magnificent. You know what I mean? You're inspiring people. You're doing great stuff and you're doing it at an age where, you know, it's so inspiring. I can't tell you. So just keep doing what you're doing and hopefully I'll see you afterwards.
Amazing.
Yeah, 100%. You know? 100%, yeah.
Nice one. Tell your parents I was asking for them.
Yeah. All right, I will. Thank you, guys.
Go well.
God bless you, bro. Yeah, God bless you, man.
Much love.
I'll speak to you again. God bless.
Bye.
Let me see the shot one more time.
Let's take a picture so you could look.
Look at that.
Yeah, let me take a picture.
Take a picture. Hang on, let me take a picture.
For my Snapchat.
Okay, take a picture so Raheem could see that man's repping him big. Look.
God save Raheem, you know.
God save Raheem, bro. Save Raheem.
Hey, this guy is the best.
Take it easy, man. I love you, man. I'll speak to you soon.
Take care.
Bless. Guys, I'm going to have to leave you. It's my 10-year anniversary. I'm taking my wife.
Wow.
Yes, I'm taking my wife.
Mate, congratulations. Huge achievement.
Thank you very much. It is a huge achievement because I don't know how she's lasted this long with me.
She loves
I'm
you.
Hard work.
She loves you.
No. Yeah, she loves me, of course. But I'm hard work, Jeanette. I'm hard work.
We're all hard work. We're all hard work.
In our own little way.
Hopefully we're all worth it.
Even harder work. I'm not even going to joke.
But you're worth it.
Well, I see. Listen,
see
man.
You soon.
Sunday.
Sunday. I'll see you. We're going to be watching, praying, hoping, whatever. Everything, gosh. Wishing on a star, man. Let's do it.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. Moose, I love you. Jeanette, I love you.
Much love.
I'll see you soon.
See ya.
God bless. Okay, thanks to Bukayo. Thanks to Jeanette. Thanks to Moose. Listen, I don't know what to say. You know, Sunday is a massive day. I don't know what to say. I just wish us all the very best because I'm so excited about it and scared, anxious. Yeah, everything that's happening, everything what you're feeling. So I just wish us all luck and we'll speak on the other side of it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.